We, the people of New York's 21st Congressional District, aren't Stefanik's priority.
I really have decided since then that this is really an all-hands-on-deck moment in our history.
I would like to see a lot of kind of grassroots local coordination, collaboration between those towns, whether we're in the same county or not.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode, all politics is local. Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York's 21st District has been in the national spotlight after challenging House Intelligence Committee Chair Democrat Adam Schiff during the impeachment hearings in Washington. The president has called her a rising star, while the left responded vociferously. The attention has spilled over to the district's congressional campaign and has translated into a surge of donations for Democratic opponent Tedra Cobb, who's in the midst of a campaign tour that came to Plattsburgh on Wednesday. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley was there.
Democrat Tedra Cobb has reported $1 million in campaign donations came in over the weekend as she seeks a rematch of the 2018 campaign against Republican Elise Stefanik.
I'm Tedra Cobb, and I'm running for Congress because right now, Washington is dysfunctional and it's not helping our region. And Elise Stefanik is part of the problem.
In a stump speech, Cobb described her background, graduating from SUNY Potsdam, raising her children in St. Lawrence County, and starting a community health agency. The former St. Lawrence County legislator outlined her key issues, including health care, Social Security, Medicare, and the environment. She claimed the people of the district are not the incumbent's top priority.
We, the people of New York's 21st Congressional District, aren't Stefanik's priority. And we see it in everything she does. And that is the biggest difference between us. Congresswoman Stefanik is a Washington insider. But for the last 30 years, I have been here with you. My priorities are your priorities.
Stefanik has been praised by conservatives and vilified by liberals for her performance during the congressional impeachment hearings. George Conway, a frequent critic of President Trump with a large online following, who is the husband of White House advisor Kellyanne Conway, referred to Stefanik as, quote, lying trash, unquote, and donated to the Cobb campaign.
I am so happy and thankful for all of those people who are now on Team Tedra, and it allows me to keep talking about the issues, and it allows me to get out in the district even more.
Among the local supporters attending Cobb's campaign kickoff was Tom LeBombard of Keysville. He says he's ashamed of Stefanik and prefers Cobb's nonpartisanship.
I like the way that she has in the past, in her previous positions, been willing to work with others on the other side of the table. I would like to see Washington get back to that. I don't think she's going to be able to do that by herself, but if we and others send representatives to Washington who are more willing to do that, perhaps we can get Washington back.
Town of Plattsburgh resident Forrest Studebaker wants change in Washington.
What I have watched is a candidate who has grown, gotten consistently better, and an incumbent who has not grown and who's getting consistently worse. And I feel intensely the desire for change. I mean, I've gone so far as to contribute a great deal of effort to candidates in the 19th, 20th, and 22nd districts to see some shift. I would just love now to see the 21st follow that direction.
Stefanik's campaign manager, Lenny Alcivar, sent WAMC an email that says in part, quote, Congresswoman Stefanik is honored by the overwhelming national support on behalf of the people of the 21st District. Make no mistake, Congresswoman Stefanik will have every available resource to share her bipartisan record of results with North Country voters across party lines to earn every vote and to win in 2020. In contrast, far-left Democrat Tedra Cobb had an opportunity to denounce her top campaign contributor George Conway's description of Congresswoman Stefanik as trash and to return his tainted money, but she refused, unquote. Speaking with reporters, Cobb said accepting donations does not mean she accepts everyone's language. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Meantime, another candidate wants to succeed retiring Democratic Congresswoman Nita Lowey in New York's 17th District. Chappaqua resident Evelyn Farkas served under President Obama in the Department of Defense and says she sounded the alarm about Russian election interference. She said as much in a tweet Monday announcing her candidacy. Then she spoke with WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
I worked in the government a long time. My last job, I was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and 12 other Eastern European countries under President Obama. And when I came out, I started noticing this fishy connection between President Trump and the Kremlin. He wasn't president then, so it was his campaign. And I started ringing the alarm bells on national television. I went up to Capitol Hill. I told them they had to get whatever information they could from the outgoing Obama administration. The right wing attacked me, Sean Hannity, all those guys, and I kept at it. And I really have decided since then that this is really an all-hands-on-deck moment in our history. And when Representative Lowey announced that she was retiring, I decided that I could carry on in her tradition. You know, and she's very well-loved and very well-respected. So I cannot say that I could even, approximate filling her shoes, but I certainly can, again, carry on in her tradition. And what that would mean would be obviously working to protect democracy for Americans, protect Americans against the erosion of the rule of law under this president, and then, of course, deliver on all of the day-to-day issues that concern the residents of the district. And I know I could do it from day one. I would just add, because I have legislated at the federal level. I was in Congress as a senior staffer, writing legislation, passing it for almost a decade.
How do you speak to the low-income parent at the East Ramapo School District about her or his day-to-day concerns versus what's going on in public impeachment hearings?
Yeah. Well, I think if you are a low-income person or a high-income person, you have to care about the erosion of your rights. I mean, this president is attacking, for example, women's right to choose. So it doesn't matter what your income is. He is trying to basically overturn Roe versus Wade. So that's a real concern. Gun safety, it doesn't matter what your income is. That's a real concern. It's absolutely appalling that we don't have background checks, required background checks, plus no-fly, no-buy, that this country allows people to own automatic weapons. So there's a whole list of things, you know. Healthcare, obviously. I can talk about the need for access to affordable healthcare to everyone, really. And I will just add, as a personal note, although I grew up in Chappaqua, New York, I mentioned before my parents are immigrants. They were not well off. They really struggled. It was a real decision for my mom, you know, when she could do errands because she didn't have money for gas in the car. I didn't go and see movies in the movie theater. That was considered a luxury we couldn't afford. And when I ended up going to college, and I went to a kind of expensive college, certainly for my parents, my mom ended up working three jobs so that I could go to that college. So I am very grateful to my public high school system for my education and for the opportunities I got because my parents moved here. But it was a struggle all along, even though we were growing up among, you know, much more affluent people than we were.
That college is Franklin and Marshall, and she earned her master's and PhD from the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Farkas joins four other Democrats running so far. Allison Fine, the immediate past chair of the National Board of NARAL, Pro-Choice America Foundation, State Assemblyman David Buchwald, State Senator David Carlucci, and Rockland County native Mondaire Jones.
I think it's fantastic. I think that's what democracy is all about. The more the merrier. You know, we'll all make our case to the voters, and the voters will have at least a lot of choice. The only thing that's regrettable in this situation is just, I think we need campaign finance reform. So that's, you know, that aspect of it, I think, is troubling that there's so much money in politics. But other than that, I think it's very healthy for the people of the district.
Will you accept corporate PAC money?
I am certainly not going to accept PAC money from any corporations that are doing things to harm our environment. Obviously, anything that goes counter to gun safety and all those things that I mentioned earlier. So that much I'm clear about.
Okay, thank you for that. And I wanted to go back to, obviously, what's on our airwaves as you and I speak right now, and that's the public impeachment hearings, and just wanted your thoughts on how this is all playing out.
Well, I'm very happy to see it happening because this president clearly has conducted multiple impeachable offenses. You know, and Congress really needed to bring these hearings to the American people, put out in public exactly what this president has been doing in the name of every American, using taxpayer money in the case of the attempt to get a bribe from Ukraine in the form of political dirt, right? But also going back to his original election and how he welcomed the assistance of the Russian government and how he tried to really impede the special counsel Mueller's investigation. So it's high time we're having these hearings. I applaud Leader Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, and the entire majority in the Congress. Unfortunately, most of the minority is not behaving as one would hope they should, as one would have expected patriots to behave.
What would you kind of order as priorities among what you mentioned, or maybe what you haven't mentioned? You know, if you had to say top three, what would you seek to address right off the bat?
Yeah, I think the top one has to be what I call kind of the climate crisis, because if we don't put a halt to the global warming and the climate change of our planet, everything else will just pale in comparison. I mean, the rise in temperature, the rise in sea level, that will affect everyone in the district, everyone in the world. It will lead to war. It will lead to refugees. It will lead to a scarcity of water and of food supply. That it will be a health problem. I mean, so certainly climate change and the environment is number one. I would say another top concern of mine is, again, access to health care. We need affordable access to health care for everyone. And we need to get to what I believe is a fundamental human right as soon as possible, fulfilling that human right. Third, you know, I think gun safety is certainly important. I mentioned that before. I mentioned some of the principles, you know, first things we can do in legislation, which, by the way, is already pending. It's sitting in the legislative graveyard, which is the Senate. The House did pass sensible gun legislation. You know, the House majority led by Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats. So gun safety is important. I do also think we need to address the fact that we have income inequality, and again, as I mentioned, some people having to hold multiple jobs just to make a living. That is a real cause for concern. And then after that, you know, there are a lot of issues like infrastructure and other, and of course, protecting the rights of women, including the right to choice and equal pay.
For healthcare, she thinks building upon the Affordable Care Act is a start, as is deflating prescription drug prices. She also wants to restore the state and local tax, or SALT, deduction that was curtailed by federal tax legislation President Trump signed in December 2017. The 17th District includes all of Rockland County and part of Westchester and is considered by ratings groups to be solidly Democratic. The primary election is in June. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
Earlier this month, New Lebanon, New York Democratic Town Clerk Tishtria Hotling won the small Columbia County Community's Town Supervisor election. Hotling earned the two-year term with 69% of the vote. After almost a decade of service to the town, she'll take on a new role in January. Hotling sat down with WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes to talk about New Lebanon, her vision for it, its challenges, and its character.
I really want to build our community. I was born and raised here in New Lebanon, and we've always been a community that has come together and taken care of one another across any dividing lines, politics, religion, didn't matter. We came together as a community, and lately there's been a lot of divide within our community. I'm not sure if the national politics is trickling down into our community, but all of a sudden I'm seeing people on different sides of the fence, and united we stand, divided we fall. So I really ran on bringing us together, all community members from all different walks of life. We have a very diverse community, which makes us strong, in my opinion, and I really want to work on bringing the community together. I'd like to look into possible grant money to have a community center of sorts. As a young person growing up here, there's really nothing for young people to do, and I'd like to have a place where our seniors can meet, our young people can meet. The free store that I started that right now is at the town hall could move into this community center, and just a place where everyone can come together, you know, shoot pool, hang out, have classes, have meetings. And also getting a skate park in our park here for our young people. That's the number one request that I hear. And again, there's good grant money available for that. So I'm really going to be looking to take a lot of our tax dollars that we pay and bring them back into our community to support some of the things that we need to really thrive as a community. And along those same lines, business and economic development. We have a downtown business district that is not thriving at the moment. A lot of businesses are struggling, and really focusing on supporting our local businesses, how we as a municipality can make it easier for businesses to come here, and how to promote the town that we are and bring people, bring tourism in for what we already have. Not change the town, but things like agritourism. We have a ton of farms and farmers. We have a rich history in this town. How do we put ourselves on the map so that people either passing through or, you know, coming to visit us can come and eat at our restaurants and, you know, buy gas at our gas station and come and see what wonderful things we have to offer as a historic community here in New Lebanon.
So you alluded to this a moment ago, but can you talk a little bit about the character of New Lebanon? You know, it's a smaller community here in New York State. What sort of defines it, you know, on a broader level?
Yeah, so we are very rich in history, from the Shakers to Tilden Pharmaceutical, to the Warm Springs up here that Lafayette used to come and frequent. We've been on the map for many different things throughout the history of the town. We also are a very rural farming community. Currently, we have a lot of unique farming and agritourism things going on. Darrow School, right up the road here in New Lebanon, has a living septic, one of the only living septics that exists. It's a really neat thing to look at and see how it works. We have a farm here in New Lebanon that runs off draft horses. They plow their fields not with tractors, but with draft horses. And so there's just a real rich history that is still happening today. A lot of the, you know, we have the Shaker Museum, we have the Shaker Swamp Conservancy, a lot of things that really accentuate this history that we're so rich in. And we just have a lot of diversity here as well. We have, you know, year-round residents. We have second homeowners. We have people who were born and raised here. We have people who have chosen to make New Lebanon their home. And I really think it takes all of us. I think it takes all of us coming together and bringing our unique gifts and everybody having a seat at the table to really talk about how we can make New Lebanon the best town that it can be. And definitely focusing on, you know, our young people. We're a very aging population, and if we end up with all of our young people having to leave because there's no opportunity here, there's nothing for them to do, you know, we're not going to survive that way. So really focusing on, you know, creating jobs. When I ran for New York State Assembly, I made a lot of connections to unions, and there's a ton of wonderful apprenticeship programs. Right now we have a need for carpenters and plumbers and a lot of the building trades. So some of our young people that maybe don't want to go to a four-year college, let's give them another route, another avenue to be successful in life. So those are a lot of the different things that I'd really like to focus on. In Columbia County, we have a board of supervisors. So as the town supervisor here in New Lebanon, I will serve on the county board of supervisors. We pay a lot of money in county taxes, but we're so far from Hudson that a lot of those services don't reach us. So that's going to be another thing I really focus on to help our residents thrive, is making sure that we have, you know, transportation for our seniors. We don't have a grocery store here in town. A lot of people don't have cars. And so, you know, we pay for there to be transportation for our seniors to things like doctor's appointments and grocery stores, but let's make sure that that's coming all the way out here to New Lebanon. Even as town clerk, I have worked with New York Connects to get a mobile office here. So they come out twice a month now for signing people up for HEAP and food stamps and Medicaid and Medicare and answering any questions people have. That's been really beneficial. And so looking at more satellite offices, because we're so far from the county, how do we get those services out here to our residents?
So I work largely in Berkshire County for WAMC, and something that I've been monitoring for the last year or so has been the unrolling of legal marijuana in the county. And, you know, there's a lot of parallels between New Lebanon and some of the communities in Berkshire County, smaller, you know, more rural, a lot of agriculture going on. As this debate about legal marijuana continues in New York at large, what are your thoughts on what that could possibly impact New Lebanon?
So I think there could potentially be an opportunity for some of our farmers to add another source of revenue into their revenue stream in addition to growing food. You know, hemp or medical marijuana, you know, if they so choose, could be another resource for the people in our community. We do have a lot of farmland. We have a lot of rich soil and things that, you know, if that passed and everything was put in place the way it needed to be, I think that could be another revenue source for our community and a way to create jobs as well.
So you talked about how far away New Lebanon is from Hudson. As far as your like regional relationships, and you're right next to Massachusetts, you're relatively close to Albany. When you look around you, who are the other communities that you reach out to sort of coordinate with?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of our residents do go over the border to Massachusetts because, you know, that's where the closest grocery store and other things are, doctor's offices. Because it crosses state lines, it's a lot harder to collaborate with Berkshire County. But some of the neighboring towns of ours, like Canaan and Steventown, I've already been in touch with the town supervisors or the incoming town supervisors of those towns and talked about how do we pool our resources? How do we, you know, work together, especially Steventown, although in Rensselaer County, very similar to New Lebanon when it comes to demographics or a rural community. You know, could we possibly be sharing services, saving taxpayers money by, you know, pooling our resources? So, you know, Steventown and Canaan are definitely the two towns on either side, Nassau. And I would like to see a lot of kind of grassroots local coordination, collaboration between those towns, whether we're in the same county or not, on how we as town governments can really collaborate and share services in different ways to provide, you know, services that are needed for all of our communities and also share the costs of said services. You know, if we did do a community center, could we possibly do a, you know, Canaan, New Lebanon community center? A lot of Canaan residents come to the New Lebanon school anyway, so a lot of the community members are kind of interlinked there. And then the ongoing expenses like the utilities and those sorts of things could be a shared cost between towns.
Again, incoming New Lebanon Town Supervisor Tistria Hotling speaking with WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes. The town clerk will take office come January. And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.